So now we're joined in studio with Matthew from CLAC, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming demonstration on Monday in Phillips Squares. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing not too bad. So I guess in general, just to start, why demonstrate on May 1st?
Okay, why demonstrate on May 1st? There's a lot of different reasons, but let me just start for with a little bit of background on May Day. Basically, May Day is a commemoration of a protest that happened in Chicago in 1886, in which, it was a riot and, an explosive device exploded and some people were injured alongside the cop side and on the protesters' side. And after that, the police decided to target anarchists that was organizing the protest as a retaliation, and basically like 8 people were killed by the state afterward, to punish the anarchists for organizing to try to have an 8-hour day. And basically after that, the 8-hour day was won in the US, and May 1st became a sign. It became a tradition that was reappropriated by different cultures and different people around the world, a celebration of workers' struggle and basically resisting against workers' struggle. And Montreal is really critical in the history of May Day, because like as soon as the early 20th century, Jewish radicals in Montreal started organizing May Day in commemoration of the people that were murdered to fight for the 8-hour day. And, because the organizers that were killed by the state were anarchists, there's been a long tradition of organizing and commemorating May Day amongst anarchists and capitalists. And it's been a celebration of workers' struggle for a long time.
So the 8-hour day is something that people probably come to take for granted today, but what about, this is a demonstration that happens every year, but what is it this year and in more recent years that's really been more pressing?
There's a lot of different issues that we're trying to press this year. The first one is gentrification, because it's important to know that, our right to live in our neighborhoods is being threatened more and more. We also want to talk about exploitation, because exploitation has been worse and worse, there's a lot of gig economy that's coming up and stuff like that that's really threatening, how Uber threatens the taxi workers' right, other union struggles that were made and took years before we get almost decent living condition for taxi workers in Montreal. All of those union gains, that are basically now threatened and are under attack. And the third thing that we want to talk about is the third one is poverty, because as we've seen in the last couple of years with austerity and the undergoing government cuts, it's been more and more clear that there's more and more poverty amongst us, and that poverty is really cut around gender and class lines, and also across race lines and whatnot. And it's really problematic in our society that those injustices are coming way back stronger. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this year's event, you're here from CLAC. Are there any other, groups or contingents, that usually, are at this demonstration?
Yes, what we're trying to do with May Day is CLAC don't try to own May Day as much as it wants to everybody to do May Day, and there's currently a couple of contingents that are called, including one from Metro Frontenac in Hochelaga. That's going to be starting at 5 p.m. There's also there's other contingents that are in the works at the moment, but probably will be called in the next couple of days. Everything is kind of late this year, but the goal is to disrupt, Montreal as much as possible, because it's important to take May Day as an opportunity to, create a strength, a force relationship with the government and with the bosses. And really, over the last couple of years, because we've been, we managed to block downtown quite effectively, in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. It's been a really good presence in the anti-capitalist milieu, and there's a lot of people that are self-organizing.
Could you speak a bit more to the importance of the disruptive component of those demonstrations?
Yes. I mean, the history of May Day in Montreal, like, I mean, I will just go back to that and, you know, try to explain why there is an anti-capitalist May Day and, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, in the early, you know, starting from the 70s, like, the union started organizing May Day and in Montreal, especially. And, you know, they took over, like, the organization of May Day when the unions were a little bit more combative. But really, like, in the, you know, like, in the 90s, like, they started, like, starting the Fonds d'Action de la FTQ, you know, like having pension plan for their workers and basically like going really like alongside the government and really like working with the government to create, you know, a better capitalism for workers. And really like it's been super problematic because like the growth of capitalism keeps on stealing native land. The growth of capitalism like keeps on, you know, depending on the exploitation of workers in third world countries and, you know, all over the world. And it's really problematic in a lot of ways that really like we're trying to create, like the unions are really fighting for a class of privileged people in North America that have all of those privileges instead of criticizing the whole economic system, you know, that is capitalism. And that's really like based on growth and keeps on destroying more and more, you know, like more and more native land and more, you know, like social structures around the world, because really like people have been living off subsistence agriculture and whatnot, like all over the place before capitalism arrived, like in North America, for example. And really like if the unions are just willing to settle down for $15 an hour and have like better working condition for the people that are, you know, working, it's not stopping capitalism, it's not stopping like all of those problematic things. And that's why we're organizing an anti-capitalist May Day. And to go back to the history once again, really like in the, you know, in the early 2000s, like there were, you know, like the often the anti-capitalists would call a contingent in the union protest. But really, there's been an escalation of, you know, really aggressions from security agents and, you know, union security and union reps against anti-capitalists, against people that were resisting and people that were using, you know, that were believing in diversity of tactics and protests. So really, like, it wasn't felt like a safe space anymore for a lot of protesters that had more radical messages. So that is why, like, since the last 10 years, like, we've been organizing anti-capitalist May Day alongside different groups and with different people to try to have, like, more than one voice, you know, more than one voice that is included in the message that we're passing to the government and to the bosses. Mm-hmm. And speaking on disruption, I mean, I don't have much to say. People, listen, you know, we create a space and people, you know, are angry at capitalism and we have, I mean, yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. So May Day is like a big show of, you know, visibility. What can people do throughout the year to maintain that sort of, I guess, like momentum and, yeah.
Everything they can and want to do. I mean, to me, like, resistance is really find, you know, like, it's not only about finding what's threatening to the system, but it's finding what you are and how you are affected by those economic system. And it's really about finding, you know, it's really about finding who you are at the same time that you find like what the enemy is, and really like taking, you know, our individual issues that we have with the system and how we are affected individually, and trying to frame how we are victim of violence and inequalities, and trying to put that in the big, you know, organization, in the big puzzle of the society we live in, and really like try to see if there's other organizations that are fighting for, you know, like tenant rights, or other organizations that are fighting for, you know, like, or, you know, like even in unions, you know, like even anywhere, you know, like in the student unions and anywhere, really, like there's a lot of organizations that are fighting. And personally, I became an anarchist because like when I tried to organize in those, you know, in student unions and whatnot, I've saw a lot of other people that were really well-intended, but sometimes, you know, like the union reps were not so cool. And sometimes, you know, like you kind of realize like how the world is at play around that. And really, yeah. And I found that I liked organizing demonstrations. So, I mean, I kept on doing that, and which is good for me, but I totally understand that, you know, like confront, you know, you know, like the police have a long tradition in Montreal of confronting radical protests, even though like, you know, like there is direct actions in a lot, you know, there's a lot of direct action happening in a lot of different other contexts where that is absolutely not attacked by the police. So, you know, like take, for example, the repression of the hockey riots compared to the repression of, yeah, it's ridiculous. So
it is.
Yeah, so really, like, you know, like, I understand that it's not for everybody, but I really feel that coordination and, you know, and just a little bit of heart is, you know, it's all it takes. And really, like, you need to find your limits. You need to find what you're comfortable with. And, you know, like, it's not everybody that will be, you know, willing to join us in the street. And that's totally fine. And there's a place for every form of resistance, and really, like, the most important people, you know, I mean, there's no more important people, but really, like, a lot of the most important work is currently invisible, and it's not being seen, because, like, it's people talking to their friends, it's just people talking, you know, to their families, and really, like, trying to destroy this fucked up system we live in. And yeah, I mean, yeah.
So I'm like, speaking of police repression, do you have any tips for people who do want to come out on Monday to be able to be, you know, as safe and effective as possible?
First thing is bring your friends. It's a lot safer when you have eyes all around your head, because your friends are looking behind while you're looking forward. It's really important to know your limits, know what you're comfortable with, and if you want to be sure that you have a good experience and you're a bit afraid, it's important to just talk with your friends about your boundaries and whatnot and what you're willing to go through. And if you'd have a consensus amongst 3-4 friends, you know, like, oh, if you know, if we see that the police start throwing tear gas, like, oh, we're gonna walk away, and you know, stuff like that. And basically, like, it's just really important to, you know your limits, what you're able to take, what you want to take. And it's important to never trust the police. It's funny, because a lot of the people that get arrested on May Day, like in the previous years, is really sad, but it's people that didn't know what clack was. And really, like, it's really dangerous, because when you get interrogated by the police, they say, like, you have to sign this paper, you know, that you said you did something, you know, and basically, like, they threaten you and they just say you have to sign papers and whatnot, and they often, like, lie to you. And really, if you sign those papers, like, you're gonna get in really big trouble.
Well, it's like you are confessing to something when you sign.
So really, like, never trust the police, never think that they're your friend, never, you know, like, I mean, they're the, you know, it's like when you're a cyclist, like, the car is the most dangerous thing. Like, if you ride at night, like, it's safe because, like, you know, there's no cars. So, and when there's police, I mean, like, there's, you know, there's a lot of confrontation, sadly, but hopefully not. I mean, like, the police has been calm, like, on March 15th, so maybe everything will go peachy. And Yeah,
fingers crossed. Okay, so there's a contingent at Frontenac Metro, you said, at 5 p.m.?
Yep.
Where can people look, I guess, to kind of keep track of those other contingents that will be popping up?
They could go on clack-montreal.net. And the information of the different contingents will be shown up there. Or you can come to the main point, that is, we have speeches starting from 6 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. And the protest will be starting at 6:30 p.m. at Square Phillips.
Perfect. Great. All right. Well, that covered all the questions I had. Is there anything else you'd like to leave people with?
That's about it. I mean, bring what you want to do. Bring what you like to have there. And it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Great. Awesome. So that is this Monday, May 1st. Thank you for coming.
That's nothing. Have a good day.